You want. I'm not preaching tonight, so, you know. Kathy, Mrs. Weeks. Well, then Cody will come read scripture, Brother Pat.
Matthew chapter 24. Stand to our feet as we read Matthew chapter 24. Yeah, stand, please. Matthew chapter 24, we'll read verses 1 through 14. I'll read, then you'll read. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye that all things, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all these things of ours. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, and love shall wax old. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, all that you've done, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless the preaching tonight, bless the preacher, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll bless the message. In your name I pray, amen.
Well, amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I trust everybody was busy this morning. I know that I was. We have a lot of exciting things that are happening in our lives. And I'll kind of go over those a little bit. And again, for those who don't know me, my name is Patrick Irvine, and my lovely wife is back there of 26 years, Deborah Irvine, and we're from Calvary Baptist Church, and it's good to be down here. And first of all, you know, I just want to put an end to a rumor, you know, that everybody said that I started about past 2 weeks back home. And I just want to clarify a few things. You know, I know now, you know, I saw Brother Weeks, and now he doesn't have any glasses. You know, I hear that he's working out. And, you know, of course, we know when he came down here into what used to be Ted Kennedy's country, that we were really concerned about him. But when I heard about these rumors, and again, I didn't start them, and I don't partake in such frivolous activities in starting and spreading rumors about Pastor Weeks wearing his Speedos down in Florida. And I just want to let you know that I did not partake in them, and I don't like spreading rumors any further. And by the way, it was Mrs. Weeks that started the rumor. And thank you for having me up here, Pastor Weeks. Thank you. And like I mentioned, I'm from Calvary Baptist Church, and one thing I can say is that I thank God. I thank God for my home church. You know, I thank God that we've stayed there for the last 20 years. And I thank God that the man that stands behind this pulpit, Pastor Weeks, and I had four kids that went through him underneath the youth ministry. And one thing I can say is that the one thing we try to do with our kids is, you know, we try to have fun. We want to serve the Lord, but, you know, we want to have fun at it. And that's exactly the way that Pastor Weeks, you know, set it up. And one thing I'm glad is that my children are underneath Pastor Weeks. Young folks, you know, I take a look across the room and I see a lot of young folks here, and you ought to thank God. you know, and you ought to get involved. And I'm going to go a little bit, you know, further beyond that. But, you know, he's an encouragement. He's an encouragement to me. He's an encouragement to my family. And, you know, I love him. And I love his family. And I mean that with all my heart. And I just, you know, Brittany was on my bus route for many years. And I don't know what a sweeter personality than Brittany. And I mean that. Anytime that I had any hurt, do anything, never complained, never anything. She was just right there and just solid. And God kind of laid a couple things in my heart, and a couple things that's happening in my life. You know, I had a chance to go up and candidate for a church. Well, it's kind of going in front of the pulpit committee right now. And one thing that I see is, you know, even across, you know, many churches just it's a desire, you know, to serve the Lord. You know, if you're busy, you know, and I know a lot of people here are busy, you know, here trying to serve the Lord. There's one thing that needs to be done. And I'm afraid, you know, a lot of times if we get caught up in everything that's involved in the church, we forget the main thing. And in verse number 14, you know, the gospel, in the book of Matthew, it says in verse number 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, then shall the end come." Of course, many people have talked about the end times. Many people have put times and dates, and of course, we don't know. But, you know, here it is, you know, that the Lord kind of almost gave a little peek through the window, you know, of things that are going to come. And I honestly believe that the Lord can come back anytime. I don't think there's anything whatsoever that's stopping him from having Gabriel blow that old trumpet. And I tell you what, I am excited. You know, I love to fly. I love when that puppy all starts, you know, those engines are revving up and it finally takes off and, you know, we're just up in the sky and I just love it. Absolutely love it. But you know, when that time comes, the Bible says it's in a twinkle of an eye. And we're gonna meet them up in the sky. Now, any of you that are afraid of heights, you know, I'm sure we're gonna hear a lot of screaming up there, but you know, we get to meet them in the sky. And to me, that's exciting. But, you know, here in this verse, you know, it just shows me, you know, that there's going to be one more big push. There's going to be one more big push towards the end. And I want to encourage you tonight to get involved in that last big push. Amen. And, you know, I want to be busy when the, you know, whenever that time is, whether it's, you know, tonight or whether it's 20 years, 30 years, 50 years down the road, I want to still be busy as long as there's breath in my lungs. I want to still be busy for the Lord. And, you know, like I mentioned, I wish that you folks would just pray for us about the opportunity in Northern Maine. I'm excited about it. It was just a good group of folks up there, and I just truly enjoyed it. They grilled me for about 3 hours. I especially enjoyed it when they grilled my wife, you know, for about half an hour, and I just loved to watch her sweat. And but you know, it was just it was a fun time, and I just enjoyed their spirit. And the one thing that I saw though is that they had a beautiful facility. I mean, just absolutely gorgeous facility, just like you folks have here. And I mean that. I was just commenting. I just love this building. I mean, it's you know, whoever, I'm sure some of you folks were here when you had it redone, but it's absolutely a beautiful facility. And, you know, God is so good. Amen. And God has provided us, you know, with so many blessings. You know, you take a look around this world, we don't realize how many blessings that we truly have. You start going to these impoverished nations. We went on a cruise, for our 25th anniversary. It took me about a year to finally go on one. But, you know, the first stop that we had was the Dominican Republic. And it's just unbelievable, just the poverty and that we saw. And, you know, my heart really went out to him. But, you know, it just made me appreciate what I have and how much God has blessed America. And we need to realize where that blessing came from. And God has blessed America. And I just pray that God continues to bless and keeps his hand of mercy and grace on America. And I want to speak to you tonight to stay in and to be part of that one more big push. Hey, get in the party. I tell you, one thing I enjoyed when I was down you know, when we were hopping from different islands, you know, and I loved the scenery. It was just absolutely first time I've ever been down to the Caribbean, and it was just absolutely beautiful. But we went to a place called St. Thomas, you know, the Virgin Islands. And, you know, we got off, and I said, boy, this is a beautiful place. I could see why people want to come down here. The truth is, I didn't get to see much of the island. We went up, you know, we went up on one of these sky tramps, and then we met this older lady. She got kind of departed from another group, and she just asked if she could hang around with us. And, that's, you know, we said that was fine and kind of enjoyed her company. We went on this bus tour. It's like these open buses. They hold maybe about 20 people, 25 people. And this one gentleman, you know, said, "Why don't you come, you know, come on my tour bus." And, you know, they're just out there hustling. This is how they make their money. And I really didn't have the cash on me. And the guy was very insistent about it. And the thing was is that I knew the Lord was speaking to my heart about, you know, witnessing to him. And I'm thinking, "Lord, I don't have the money." He says, "Well, you know, do you have a credit card? We can go down to the ATM machine." Now, first of all, I don't like having a credit card, and we only got one because of the trip. And I sure don't like pulling money out of ATM machines. You know, it's just completely against my nature. But somehow, I mean, he brought me down to the bank. I mean, he literally brought me down to the bank. And I'm thinking, this guy is really persistent. I mean, I liked his spirit, you know. So finally I talked to the teller, because I didn't have a PIN number, you know, or anything like that. Because, again, I just don't like pulling money out of the ATM machine because I don't like how it hurts at the other end. And the lady said to me, she says, "I need two photo IDs." Well, I had one of my driver's license, but I didn't have any other photo ID. She says, "No, I need two photo IDs." And, you know, I tried a little bit, and she just wouldn't do it. So I turned around, and I went up to the guy, and I think, you know, I said, "Well, Lord, I guess you just didn't want me to go on this trip." Then all of a sudden, she turned, you know, we were just ready to walk out, and she yells out, "Sir, you know, how much were you going to pull out?" And I said, $100. And she says, "Oh, we can do that." I said, "Oh, man." So I gave her my credit card. I got the $100. And so we were starting to get in the van. And he said to me, he says, "Hey, look, can you ride with me up front? I'm overloaded in the back." And, of course, my wife had a friend, you know, and I figured out she's going to be gabbing with her the whole trip anyways. So I got inside the front of that vehicle. And I said, "Boy, this is a big mistake on his part." And I just, you know, just started talking to him about the Lord. And the funny part about it is, actually, his last name is Robles, and David Robles. And the funny part, he's originally from Dominican Republic, where they speak Spanish. And he looked Spanish to me. But anyways, we started talking, and found out he was Catholic. He was very knowledgeable in the Bible. I was absolutely amazed. He knew everything about David. He knew everything about he's got a middle name. He had like two middle names. One of them was Elias. And he just knew the Bible. But he was lost. And, you know, we went around that whole island. And to be honest with you, I didn't see much about the island. Because my main focus and my heart was just in seeing him being saved. And by the end of the trip, when we went back over, and he says, you know, well, he says, you know, he shook my hand, and he says, "Well, you know, I hope to see you again." And I said, "Well, listen," I said, "there's one way to know, and that's with you by receiving Christ." You know, of course, I went through the whole plan of salvation. And I said to him, I said, "Listen, would there be anything stopping you, you know, from bowing your head and receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, to know for sure that you're on your way to heaven and to save you from going to hell?" And he says, "There wouldn't be anything," he said. And so we bowed right there in the middle of, you know, God and everybody. You know, there's probably about a couple hundred people all around. He wasn't ashamed. And, you know, he bowed down and he received Christ as his Savior. And I just talked to him a little bit, and he says, "Can you get me a Spanish Bible?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd be more than happy to." And, you know, I came back and got him a Spanish Bible. But that's my passion and that's my zeal. And the truth of the matter is, I'm sure heaven's going to be beautiful. I know there's going to be streets of gold. I know I'm going to have a beautiful mansion, you know, that's going to be right above Pastor Weeks's. I can look down at him, you know, and his Speedos. But, you know, I know it's going to be beautiful. But the truth of the matter is, that's not what's really important to me. What's really important to me is who's going to be there. And you know, the truth is, and that's what I love about this church, I just know that you always have a lot of fellowship. You guys love going out to eat, you know, and I love that. I love that fellowship. And to me, that's what's most important. Tonight, I want to share a few thoughts with you. I don't know if I'm going to be really bombastic at all. Probably not what you're used to, you know, with Pastor Weeks, but I just want to share, you know, my heart with you. And just as I was talking to those folks at the church, you know, they had a beautiful auditorium. It held maybe about 200-300 people, and that's what they used to have. And they're down to maybe about 30 adults. And, you know, their heart, is they realize what they have, and what they have and what the potential is. And the comment to me was always, we're being underutilized. And the truth is, every single church really is. You know, there's always room for one more. Amen. Always room for one more. I'm never satisfied with what I have on the bus. You know, I always, you know, and I know it's not a number. To me it is, because it's just more souls to be saved. Right. And that's really my focus. And but, you know, I just, here's one verse in Hebrews number 12. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. You know, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Matter of fact, no, it's not. "So run that you may obtain." You know, the truth is that we're in the middle of a race. And, you know, what we have to do, first of all, and I know in my life, I enjoy soul winning, but I know in my life, you know, I need to get rid of some things that are weights. Maybe not necessarily sins, but they're a weight. You know, they're a weight to me as far as what I can produce for the Lord. I want to produce more for the Lord. And the truth is sometimes I have to analyze my life. And I have to take a look and say, okay, what's really weighing me down? What thing is really weighing me down? And I need to get rid of those things. And of course, I'm sure there's some things maybe the Lord will speak to your heart about. I know that, you know, I can get in front of that TV. And of course, you know, with Dish Network, you know, we've got the sports package. Of course, we can watch the Celtics and the Red Sox and every other, you know, team that the Lord is for. And, I remember there was Tom Brady. I don't know if you heard this, but Tom Brady died and he went to heaven. And, of course, St. Peter was bringing them all around and just looking at the beautiful mansions, you know, and St. Peter says, "This is your place right here," you know, and Tom Brady, "Oh, this is great, you know, I really appreciate it." And he looked up on a hill, and up on that hill was a beautiful, beautiful mansion. And on the front of it, it had Patriots flags, it had all kinds of logos, "Go Patriots." It was absolutely beautiful. And Tom Brady says, "Whoa, that is gorgeous. Look at that. And look at all the Patriots logos up there." He says, "Is that Bill Belichick's house?" And Peter says, No. That's God's." And, of course, we know what team God is on, what side God the Lord is on. But, you know, here it is. You know, we have a race that's set before us. And, of course, we need to lay down some of our sins. And this is not my, you know, part of my message, but, you know, the truth is that if we're going to be successful for the Lord, you know, what is stopping you from being what you ought to be as far as being a witness for the Lord? You know, what is it that stops you? I know for me, the first time that I got involved in soul winning was obviously my pride, but basically it was the fear. The fear that I had that I was going to totally blow it. You know, I saw a lot of people, you know, especially in my family, you know, my wife's side, you know, that I saw people just getting saved. And we would go out to eat, you know, with my wife's cousin, and he was just absolutely amazing. You know, we just would go out to eat, and he would just lead the waitress to the Lord. He would just lead people to the Lord. He was just a natural at it. And I said, "Boy, I like to be like that." You know, I was just so excited at how he could do it. And just the power of God, just seeing the people, you know, just come to Christ. And I was so excited about it. And, you know, the truth is I really had a burden about it. And, you know, I remember one time, you know, that I used to walk around the house when we were living in Plymouth, New Hampshire, outside of Plymouth, New Hampshire, in Holderness. And I just begged God to teach me to be a soul winner. I just begged God. And, you know, you better watch what you pray for. Because what God did is he moved me, you know, to a completely different state. And that's where he began to show me how to be a soul winner. And I remember the first time that we went out, you know, I would go out with Dan and you know, we'd just go knocking on doors. He was starting up a church, Twin City Baptist Church in Auburn, and it was just exciting. I'd go out with him, he'd be knocking on doors, and, you know, we'd just be seeing people, you know, just getting saved. And I just loved it. And he tried to teach me, and you know, it was just, when we tried to do a one-on-one, somehow it just didn't work out, because he would always cut up and I would always cut up, and it just didn't work out. So finally, I remember one time, I've heard him, I don't know, maybe lead about 50, 60 people to the Lord over the course of a few months. And one time he knocked on the door, and the door opened, and I looked beside me, and he wasn't there. He took like about four steps behind, and I was stuck with this person. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to kill him? You know, while being, you know, I mean, I was scared. And I said, ma'am, you know, I had a tract inside, you know, right inside my shirt pocket. And I handed it to her, and I said, listen, we're from Twin City Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you to come to church. And she says, okay, yeah, thank you. And then I just said to her, I said, ma'am, has anybody showed you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven? And she said, no. And I said, well, would you, and that's exactly how I did it. Would you like to know? And she said, yes. And I said, oh, no. I said, no, I got to go through the whole plan of salvation. And I mean, I mean, if you saw me, I must have been sweating. I must have been, and I promise you, I felt like I was all over the place. You know, I stumbled on my words. I stumbled on you know, the whole plan. I mean, I probably went to point six instead of point one and just went backwards, forwards. And I felt like I totally blew it. I honestly did. And I just, you know, I just talked about heaven and talked about hell, talked about what Jesus Christ did for us. And all I remember at the end was I said, I really blew this. And I knew I did. And I said, ma'am, I said, you know, would you like to ask Jesus to save you? And she said, boy, I sure would. And she bowed down, and I can remember this as clear as today. She bowed down, and she received Jesus Christ. And there was just something in my heart that just exploded. And, you know, ever since that time, you know, I mean, I just got right into it. You know, I mean, I just got right into it. And, you know, I just remember one time, you know, just going on this verse, you know, the wherefore wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great of a cloud of witnesses. I remember my friend called me up one time and he says, hey, I'd like to go to the Expos game up in Montreal. And of course he told me it was only like a couple hours to get up to Montreal. It was more like about 5 hours. And so anyways, I said, sure. I said, you know, we'll go up there. And of course, if you've ever been up there, it's an enclosed stadium. And it holds, I think, about 50, 60,000 people. And of course, this was during the playoffs. And if anybody, sports fanatics, know that the Expos are no longer there, but this is the time that they were still playing. And I said, sure, let's go up there. You know, we'll watch them play, you know, the Pirates and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And so, you know, I met up with them and we just went right up into Montreal. And I remember there was just a sense of excitement, you know, just because the Expos, I don't believe, had ever had a chance to be in the playoffs. And so we went up in there, and we were about the last people to get in. The place was already packed and crowded. And all of a sudden, as we went into this, like, wide opening to get into where the seats were, we were just sitting up right up top. And as I walked through that stadium, into that side of that stadium where there was 50, 60,000 people, all of a sudden the whole place just erupted. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. They knew I was there. But, you know, I just walked right through the door, right through that door. And all of a sudden, people were cheering because the team was coming out. And it just felt like, you know, something right against your chest, just a screaming and shouting and just all the excitement, you know, of the team coming out there. And all of a sudden, I thought of this verse. And I said, that's how heaven must be when somebody comes and kneels down and receives Christ as their Savior. Boy, I tell you, that excited me. And I said, man, I want to be inside that game. I want to be inside that game where I get to see people being saved, where God would use me, just use me to see people come to Christ. I want to get inside that game. And that just excited me more to do more for the Lord. And when I think about that verse, and I think about when I'm leading somebody to the Lord, there's a great cloud of witnesses that are looking down, that are shouting and screaming, you know, hey, hey, that's my grandson that's being saved. Hey, that's my granddaughter that's going to be saved. Hey, that's my mom, that's my dad, or maybe that's my friend, that's my neighbor. Can you imagine the shouting and screaming that's down there? I mean, up in heaven. And I just thought about that. I said, what an exciting, I love sports. I love watching sports. But I tell you what, there's something greater than just going to a baseball game or going to a basketball game. Boy, I tell you what, we can be involved in the greatest game of all. And that's seeing people coming to Jesus Christ. I tell you, there's a stadium up in heaven and there's multitudes, millions of people looking down and just watching somebody come to Christ, knowing and realizing they're being saved from the pits of hell. Boy, what an exciting time. We got excited about Deb's aunt and uncle being saved. I mean that. Think about it. We've been, and I remember praying for them. I remember just witnessing to them before, and they would just shut me down cold. I talked to her uncle, you know, one time about 3 years ago, and it just broke my heart. I mean, he shut me down. I mean, uncle, and he loves me, but I tell you what, he just shut me down cold. Wouldn't even want to listen to it. But you know what? We kept on praying for them over the years, year after year after year after year, decade after decade after decade. But God is so faithful. You know, and God heard the prayers of many people praying for them. And I know a lot of churches were praying for Janet and Bill. And boy, it was exciting. It was just exciting to hear that they got saved. I want to say, hey, I know many of you are already in that game. I know many of you are actively out, you know, inviting folks to church. I know a lot of you are out there, you know, just you know, trying to see people saved. You know, one of the best things that you can do, and I mean this, you know, I enjoy having people, you know, that I just meet on the side. It's not part of a regular soul winning activity, whether it's at work or whether it's I'm at, you know, when I was on vacation or any place. But God just brings me people that I know that he wants me to witness to them. But you know, the truth is, that's not how I started. I started because I got involved, you know, in a soul winning ministry. In a scheduled time where I went out, you know, with Brother Dan Tolman. You know, we used to go out every single Wednesday during the daytime. We'd go out every single Wednesday. That was our scheduled time. And the truth is, that's how I learned to become a soul winner. And again, it's my passion, and I've gone beyond that. But you know, many of you, I know many of you have maybe never had that opportunity, you know, to have somebody teach you, you know, how to win souls. And you know, you have one of the greatest soul winners is right here. And I know there's, you know, pastors talked about many other people here in the church who have led people to the Lord. And really, that's really where it begins. You know, somebody had to train me. And I've trained other people how to win souls. I've had other, you know, I've had people come up to me. I've had some teenagers come up to me and say, we want to learn how to win souls. You know, and I'm more than happy to take them out. You know, I'm more than happy to teach them. You know, because the truth is that's how we expand.
Amen.
You know, that's how we get to see more folks being saved. And God blesses it. You know, Jesus said unto Peter, thou art Peter, which means obviously pebble. But upon this rock, and of course, you know, I'm not Jesus, but he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And when Jesus was pointing to himself, what we need to do is obey God. You know, it says in, I think it's Matthew 28. Jesus gave us a commandment, and he said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We have a commandment, you know, to go. And that commandment, you know, of course, comes with him being with us. You know, no matter where we are. I think about that when I'm witnessing to other people, that I have a soul winning partner with me all the time. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know, with the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't lead anybody to the Lord. I really can't. I mean, I'm talking about me physically. I mean, it has to be with the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts, and it's the Holy Spirit, you know, that draws that person to Christ. And all I do is I'm just a mouthpiece for God. And what I need to do is I need to be that servant or that vessel, you know, to bring the gospel to that person. You know, a lot of us, you know, again, my biggest fear, you know, was I was really going to blow it before I even started to go soul winning. I had that deep desire. I knew it was a commandment. I knew I needed to get busy, but I had that fear. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're going to make mistakes. You know, we're going to blow it. And you know, we'll blow it a few times. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I remember my son, when he was just a little tyke, and he wanted to play basketball. Ever since he was maybe about 3 or 4 years old, he would always wanted to shoot hoops. That's all. I had one of those little baskets, you know, with the little foam balls. And boy, that's all he wanted to do. And then when we had a house, I mean, he'd be out there. I mean, he could barely, you know, throw that ball up, but he'd be out there for hours at a time, just trying to put that basketball in the hoop. He just absolutely loved basketball. He loved watching it. He loved playing it. He's just excited about basketball. And I remember Mike, this was when we were at Bible college. I think he was in, what, fourth grade when he finally got to start at the school at Hammond Baptist. And it was the first time he ever played. And Mike was all excited. He got his uniform. I mean, he was just pumped. He just wanted to play. And he got out there, and, you know, of course, you know, they're teaching him how to guard, they're teaching him how to dribble, and they're just trying to teach him, like, the certain aspects of the game. And really, Mike had no conception, really, of all the rules. You know, Mike didn't care. He just wanted to play. And I remember one time, you know, he was supposed to guard this person. Of course, Mike was, you know, just a small little fella, so he was guard. And, you know, he's trying to protect the ball. That person, you know, is coming down. He's trying to get the ball. And, you know, he's just going back and forth. Finally, Mike got the ball. And he's starting to dribble down, and he was heading right towards that basket. And all of a sudden, this kid came out, and he swiped it away from him, and he took a fast break. And that kid just bolted down to the other end. And Mike, of course, you know, he was mad. So he went after that guy, and I said, oh, great, Mike is going to try to, you know, just try to block him, just try to stuff him. And I said, go get him, Mike. All of a sudden, Michael, I mean, he just leaped in the air, and he tackled that kid right down to the ground, laid him out flat, right like this. Of course, the ref blows up the whistle and goes to Mike, and Mike, you know, he goes, Mike, you can't do that. You know, Mike just kind of shrugs his shoulders, you know, just was ready to play again. And the kid's out cold. And the funny part about it was, you know, I went to class that next night, and Brother Hooker, I don't know how many of you know Brother Hooker, but, you know, he's one of the associate pastors over there, and he was teaching Bible class that night, and he says, I just love watching, you know, kids play. He says, I was at my daughter's, you know, as she, I guess she was a cheerleader there, and he says, I saw this one kid, and boy, and of course he just explained the whole thing, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's my boy, you know, just... but you know, the thing was, and he says, you know, and Brother Hooker made this point. He says, you know what? He says, I thought that was great. He had a passion. He says, I don't care if those guys know how to dribble the ball. He says, I don't care if they know how to shoot the ball. He says, all I want them is, he says, I want them to go after the ball. Amen. He says, go after the ball. And the truth is that's what we need to do. We need to get inside the game. We need to get involved in to soul winning and get inside the game. Just get inside the game. We got tracks out back, and one of the things I love doing is, you know, I'll pass out tracks. I don't have time to talk to everybody. I really don't. As much as I'd like to, and my wife has to drag me along sometimes, but, you know, I'll just pass out the track, you know, because it's the Word of God, you know, inside of here. And I said, listen, when you get a chance, I said, just read some of these verses. I'll show you how you can know for sure you're on the way to heaven. Let me tell you something. Yeah, you might get some people to kind of gruff at you, or, you know, say, no, I don't want to. But you know what? I just go on to the next person. You go on to the next person. I remember one time, people are hurting, and people want the truth. And I remember one time I was pulling up to a toll booth. And I always, you know, most of the time I'll pass out tracts to them, and, you know, I came up to her, and she, you could just tell she was just down, and you know, she looked at me, and I said to her, she says, hi, how you doing? I said, great. I said, Jesus is coming again. I don't know why I said it. It just kind of came out of my mouth, and I thought, that's kind of weird to say, you know, but that's what came out of my mouth. And she looked at me, she says, oh boy, I hope so. You know, just as sincere as could be. And I said, listen, I said, you know what? He is coming soon. And I said, here's a track, and I can show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven to meet him that one day. And she says, oh, thank you. You know, cars were coming behind me, and they weren't too happy, and blaring on the horn, you know. But, you know, the thing was is that I didn't have time. You know, the only thing I could do is give her a gospel track. I know two people right now that have gotten saved because I gave them a track. You know, because I came back and I talked to them, and I couldn't lose them. I mean, you know, they said, no, I prayed. I read that track, and I prayed, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. You know, I couldn't get them lost. I mean, they got saved by reading that track. And, you know, that's what's exciting. You know, I'll leave tracks all over the place. wherever I can, at a phone booth. There's not many. Those are a dying breed right now. Can't find a phone booth anywhere. Everybody's got their own cell phone. But, I'll put them in the restrooms. What else are they going to do? Just stare at the wall or stare at the door? Give them something to read. I'll leave them all over the place. Hey, listen, I enjoy it, though. I really do. I look for different opportunities just to leave tracks or just different opportunities to hand out tracks. That's just my passion. Pastor Weeks pays for these things. Pass them out, Let them pay for some more. But get inside the game. Get inside the game. I love this guy. I really do. I led this guy to the Lord, and you know him, Big Tim. He dropped off his nieces. He had four nieces, and they came to our church, and they thought, I don't know what happened. He thought that they missed the bus, and he brought the girls in, and I said, well, you're an hour early. It was like 9 o'clock. We started at 10 o'clock. And I said, well, yeah, the bus picks them up at 9, but church doesn't start till 10. And he goes, oh. But I said, listen, I said, you're already here. I said, don't worry about it. I said, just leave the kids here. And he says, okay. And I could tell he was a little down. And so I said, hey, listen, I said, why don't you come? He goes, no, that's all right. And this guy's big. I mean, he's probably about 6'1", 6'2", and he's probably about 300-400 pounds. And I'm not just talking, he's big boy, but he's also a big boy. He's an ex-Marine. And it's just, one guy you don't want to get on the other side of that fist. He's just a big boy. But, I just jumped inside that. I don't know why I did it, but I jumped inside that seat. I said, listen, I want you to come to church. And, I started talking to him. And I led him to the Lord right there in the vehicle. And all of a sudden, he kind of perked up. And I said, why don't you come? And I had to go and I had to pick up those people. And I said, why don't you come with me? Now, Tim, the poor guy, he, the one problem that Tim has is he's got a mouth. And of course, he just doesn't know how to control that mouth sometimes. And it gets him into more trouble. And I love him. I really do. But, it gets him into so much trouble. But, I used to go out with, soul winning with him a little bit, and he kind of got away from the Lord, and he just went through some rough times. And finally, he moved away. He actually, he got right with God. He started going to a church up in Victory Baptist Church up in Winthrop. And, he started getting involved in the church. He started becoming faithful. He got married. And, Tim was still Tim. But, there was starting to become a change in him. He had a little girl, and God bless him, but his little girl was having some medical issues. She was only a few weeks old, and he wanted them to do some tests, and they didn't want to do the test, and of course, he told the doctor, he was going to do it or else, kind of thing. And again, he was just shooting off his mouth. And Tim was discouraged. As a matter of fact, it got so heavily involved that the DHS came in. The hospital, I guess they don't take kind to certain words and certain things, and they called the DHS. Well, he had to be separated from his wife and his child. They were just newly married. And I'm thinking to myself, man alive, this guy's really going to be he's just going to lose it. And he says, you know what, Brother Pat? He says, yeah, I blew it. I blew it with my mouth. But you know what? I'm not going to let the old devil, get me down. He says, I'm going to just kick it right back to him. And he went out and he led over 20 people to the Lord last month. I couldn't believe it. He says, I'm shooting for that. Hey, I guess that church, if you win 50 souls to the Lord, you get to be on the plaque. And he says, Brother Pat, he says, I'm going to be on that plaque. He says, bless God, I don't care what these guys say. He says, I'm going to get busy. And he says, I got kind of excited for the guy. Here it was, he got knocked down. But you know what? He just got back up. And he decided what was really important. And after about 30 days, these people can really make your lives miserable. But they just have a lot of things on their side, and they can use a lot of things to their advantage. And I really felt sorry for him. But he did some things, and he called them up, and all of a sudden, just like a light switch came on, he was able to go back to his family, and the whole thing got dropped. And here was the thing, though, is that he realized what was really important, and he got involved. And we just sometimes, we'll make mistakes. All I'm getting to is we'll make mistakes. We're going to blow some things. But the truth of the matter is, the best thing to do is when you get inside the game is just keep on going. Amen. Just keep on going. I've said some things that, you know, now, you know, that I look back over the years that I said, I wish I didn't say that. I wish I didn't do this. I wish I had done this. More often than not, it's I wish I had done this. I wish I had witnessed to that person. I wish I had spoke to that person. And the truth is, I know there's going to be some blood on my hands, and I don't look forward to that at all. But what I do look forward to, you know, is the people that God led me to have that opportunity to witness to them and see people saved. When you get involved, I'm going to... Just a couple things. You know, one, I know many of you here are very involved in the church and have for many, many years. And, you know, the book of Revelations, it talks about, you know, Jesus talked about, he says in verse number 3, I'll go back to number 2. He says, chapter 2, verse number 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and hast tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know, what Jesus is saying, he's not saying, hey, it's not that you don't love me. You know, it's not, I know that you love me. I see your works. You know, I see that you're busy for me. I see that you're, you know, week after week after week after week, you're on the buses, you're involved in church, you're helping out in the choir, you're helping out, you know, in different ministries of the church. He says, I see you giving, I see you doing all kinds of things. But he says, but I have this one thing. And he says, I have something somewhat against thee, because thou hast left that first love. And I know in my life, you know, over the years, you know, as soul winning, sometimes, you know, I'll just do it because it's just part of my character, I guess. You know, I just do it because it's time to go soul winning, or I do it because it's time, to get busy for the Lord. And sometimes I have to take a step back and just remember, you know, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and that I know that I'm on my way to heaven, and what Jesus Christ did for me when he died on Calvary and shed that blood for me. And I gotta remember the times, you know, the answers of prayers that he has given to me over the course of the years. You know, how he's seen me, you know, miracles after miracles after miracles, what he's done for me. And sometimes I just have to go back, you know, and realize what Jesus Christ did for me. And then I just remember that first time that I led that first person to the Lord, and how it just excited me. And I try to remember these verses, you know, how there's a great cloud of witness, and how people are looking down, just waiting to see that next person being saved. Hey, you know what? Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
Get inside the game.
Yes.
You have a great opportunity, you know, to get involved. Maybe some of you, you know, have been coming for quite a while, and maybe just really don't know how to lead somebody to the Lord. You know, get with Pastor Weeks. You know, get with somebody that you know that knows how to lead people to the Lord. And just say, I want to go out with you. Just let me hear you talk. Let me hear you lead somebody to the Lord. You have a great opportunity with children. Children are the easiest people really to lead the Lord. They really are. And I loved it. I used to teach a kindergarten class, and I just loved it. You know, because I always have visitors. Oh, every single week. And I just knew that some of them were visitors. And if I didn't have an opportunity to lead them to the Lord that one week, I'll probably never see them again. And that was really my passion, you know, is to make sure that person heard the gospel. Because I don't know when would be the next time they would hear the gospel. There's so many different opportunities that you can to have to lead to the Lord. Get in the game and stay in the game until that heavenly buzzer sounds. Keep busy. Stay in the Word. The best thing that you can do is just stay in the Word of God. You know, learn to forgive. You know, pulling out that root of bitterness. By the way, forgive yourself. I know I preached this, you know, a few months ago here. You know, talking about, you know, when Paul, you know, Paul had to forget a lot of things which were behind him. Paul was a murderer. Paul, you know, crucified Christians. He needed to forget some things, you know, behind him, and press toward the mark of the high calling. Quit beating yourself up. Hey, listen, just get involved. Work on keeping your spirits up. I know many of you just labor on, but just keep on going. Just keep on going. One more big push. Just one more big push. I just had a few thoughts tonight. It's almost kind of a shotgun approach, but you know, Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
He is coming soon.
That's right.
And I want to be involved as much as I can and see as many people as I can come to Christ. It's just, to me, I just have a passion for it. I have a love for it. And I just a couple verses that have excited me over the years. And some of the things that I need to go back over and just try to remember that excitement. And again, you know, when I went on vacation, you know, that just excited me to no end. It really did. It wasn't that I was down in St. Thomas, a beautiful island as it may be. You know, it's just I was given the opportunity to see David Robles come to the Lord. I mean, that was really, ask my wife, that was really the highlight. I mean, obviously being with her was a great highlight all that week. But the truth was, it's the highlight of my week was just seeing David Robles coming to the Lord. And that God had an appointment with me to meet him and to tell him about Jesus. Every head bow, every eye closed. You know, maybe the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. You know, I don't know here who's all involved and who's not, but maybe the Lord spoke to you tonight and said, Brother Pat, I really want to get involved. I've never really led anybody to the Lord, but I want to learn. I really do. I have that desire that I want to learn how to be a soul winner. I really like to start. You know, this week, how many will raise up their hand right now and say, Brother Pat, that's me. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Folks, maybe some of you tonight, you've been busy. You've been leading people to the Lord. You've been actively inviting folks to come to church. You know, maybe some of you have been kind of, you know, just seems like it was the same old routine. Maybe some of you need to come to the Lord and, you know, just ask him to rekindle that fire again. You know, to get back involved again. Just to see folks come to see Jesus Christ. As the piano plays, if we all can stand, Pastor Weeks.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. We are termed, and I like this term, we are termed a soul-winning church. If we're going to be a soul-winning church, we must be a soul-winning people. And I wonder, maybe tonight, you know, some of you rose your hand and say, yeah, I want to start this thing of soul-winning, if you will. And if you want to learn that, boy, I urge you to get with me and some others that can teach you how to do that. That'd be very, very important. But one way to start out is grab yourself a handful of tracts and pass them tracts out to everybody you know. To the lost people that you know, the relatives, if you will, that you know. Be very, very important to do that. We have a great opportunity ahead of us. And he's right. You know, it's one big last push. Jesus is coming. You know, you might have a relative, you might have a friend, you might have someone that the Holy Spirit's just kind of nudged your heart about tonight that, man, I want to see this person saved. And you might be the tool. You might be that individual that can see that get done, if you will. And if you're here tonight, God spoke to your heart, great soul-winning message. When I think of Brother Pat, you know what? He lives up to what he preached. He totally lives up to it. You know, I think of his Mr. Soul Winner. He's a very soul conscious. And what he preached about tonight, that's who he is. And I hope we get a hold of this thing of soul winning and get a hold of this thing of the great commission that's been given to us to go ahead and go to the lost world. Heads about, our eyes are closed. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bless this message. I pray, God, that you'd be with hearts tonight, Lord. I'm sure there's some here tonight thinking of that lost soul, that one that's dying, going to hell. It might be a friend or a relative, somebody. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use them to go ahead and be the tool to get them folks saved. I pray, God, that you'll plant in our church that desire. We are a soul-winning church, but we must be a soul-winning people to go ahead and fulfill that term. I pray, Lord, that you give us a burning desire to win the lost to Christ. In Jesus' name.
Heads up. Go out and do your work, Lord. And Lord, that this church is known as a soul winning church. And I pray it continues to be known as that, Lord, and be with each and every one of us that go out. And just pray for your power with us. I pray for the buses. That you load up those buses with the kids that need to be saved. Bring them downstairs, Lord. And just for this whole church, Lord. And be with us as we go this week and bring us back safe on Tuesday and Wednesday. In Jesus' name, amen.